It began the summer after I turned 15 in 1990, just after our parents took Hillary and me on a two-week trip to Israel. Our great-aunt, who had joined us on the trip, suffered a minor heart attack. Our mother stayed behind to care for her while Hillary and I flew home to Columbus with our dad. While my father was napping away his jet lag upstairs, Hillary and I set ourselves up in the basement to watch Dirty Dancing for the millionth time on our new VCR. As Johnny lifted a dripping white tank top-wearing baby powerfully over his head in the lake, a loud series of thuds echoed down the basement stairs. Hillary jumped up first. She was a year and a half older than me and nearly 17. She took the stairs two at a time out of the basement, her long, athletic legs confident as she raced around the corner to a second set of stairs up to the second floor. I tiptoed behind. Hillary landed next to our father's head at the top of the stairway. His eyes blinked, glazed with confusion. Blood dripped from above his forehead to his cheek, forming a rivulet through his dark hair. "Come here and stay with him," my sister ordered. "Where are you going?" I called up from where I stood at the bottom of the stairs. "I'm calling an ambulance," she answered. "Get up here." My father was on his stomach at the top of the stairway with his head near tangled in the metal bars of the banister. That banister had kept him from falling headfirst onto the stone tile floor below, but also gashed open his scalp. I approached him carefully, winding my way up around the curve in the steps. "Get him a towel," Hillary called while explaining the situation to 911. "Daddy, are you okay?" she shouted. He was sitting up now. I fumbled a towel off the rack in the nearby bathroom I shared with my sister. "Yes," he answered quietly. I watched awareness settle over him. He suddenly focused on my face, no longer gazing out vaguely at nothing in the distance. Slowly, he knitted his brow in an expression of absolute confusion. Or was it disgust? At first, I wasn't sure what was going through his head. For all I knew, he was having a stroke. Then it dawned on me. I was hysterical. My now sober father was trying to assess not just his own medical state, but mine too. I hadn't noticed earlier, since all I could hear was the thumping silence of residual panic, born solely of the possibility that my father had been in mortal danger. My dad rolled his eyes and tossed the towel I'd given him back at me, presumably so I could wipe the tears that were pouring down my own face. Hillary returned and helped our father to his feet. He was composed enough to put himself back to bed, order us to cancel the ambulance, and request a glass of water. Meanwhile, I went to the bathroom and took several deep breaths. An alarm had been sounded, but right then it was unclear what it foretold, or that it even had anything to foretell. We were not a family who routinely dealt with catastrophe. We lived in Ohio. My dad always liked watching thunderstorms. Once we had all been sitting on our front porch watching a particularly wild storm when lightning struck our neighbor's house across the street. I remember the electricity tickling the tiny hairs on my face as sparks flew off their roof. We went inside and called them in time for a fire truck to come and contain the fire to the attic. We were heroes that day, but really, it's just what we were good at. It's where we excelled. Watching lightning strike other people's houses. We called our dad's nearby office, where he worked as a physician. Hillary drove when we accompanied him to get 7 stitches in his head. As the nurse cleaned the wound, he explained that he had gotten up too fast from his nap. He explained that when we arrived home from the airport, he had taken a diuretic, or a water pill, designed to help reduce swelling from water weight. He was just jet-lagged and otherwise tired from our two-week trip. As he stood up too quickly from his nap, he became disoriented and then finally fell at the top of the stairs. My dad left out several important items that didn't come to light until much later. 2 months before our trip to Israel, in April of 1990, he went to see Dr. Keith Pattison, a cardiologist, because of minor swelling in his ankles. Ankle edema, as it is known, is often linked to heart disease. My father had undergone open-heart surgery as an adolescent in the 1950s. Dr. Pattison offered no definite medical reasons for the swelling that day. His findings simply maintained that the patient is not functionally impaired, and he retains superb exercise capacity. In other words, my dad's ankles might be swollen, but they didn't seem to affect his heart or health.